from Psalm 51. We just sang Psalm 51, and now we're reading selected verses. This is the great penitential psalm of the Bible that traditionally is the one that David wrote after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And as you hear these words, you will hear how the heart of the psalm writer is broken with what he has done. Hear the word of God. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was ordained to be a pastor, the pastor of the church that I attended in my youth, Bob Chris, gave the charge, which is where they give you sort of your marching orders for being a minister. Some words of advice. And I've heard a lot of charges in my day, but I have to say the one Bob Chris gave me was maybe the best one I've ever heard. And I remember most profoundly two very powerful things that he told me. One was he quoted Thomas Merton, who was a Catholic monk. And Thomas Merton said this. He said, "Beware of spending your life making itty-bitty statues." At first, I thought it was sort of a funny thing to say, itty-bitty statues. But then, you know, you get out there into the great world and you start doing things and you realize how many things that you do are really just making itty-bitty statues. Things that, in the great scheme of life, don't really matter all that much. And the other thing he gave me, sort of as a gift, he said, just take this verse from the Psalms with you. He said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." It's from Psalm 51. "Restore to me, O Lord, the joy of your salvation." Why did he give me that verse? There are thousands of verses in the Bible. Why did he give me that one? Maybe he realized just how hard it is, or how easy it is in this world. Just how easy it is to lose your joy. Sometimes we lose our joy by making itty-bitty statues, by not giving ourselves to anything that matters, anything that will last. I'm not just talking about work, vocation. I'm talking about everything that we do, family, friendships, the causes you support, the people you encourage. Will anything we do or say matter? Will anything we do or say last? Will it matter to anyone beyond ourselves? Beware of making itty-bitty statues. Beware of giving your life to things that in the end won't matter. If you've been making itty-bitty statues, then pray this prayer tonight. Restore to me, O Lord, the joy of your salvation. Sometimes we lose our joy by messing up our lives, but good. And if you've lived long enough, you've probably done just that. Messed up your own life or someone else's, caused them harm, done some real damage, soul damage, damage to someone else's soul maybe, or maybe damage to your own. Psalm 51 knows all about that. blot out my transgressions, hide your face from my sins. Whether Psalm 51 was written about David and Bathsheba in that little episode or not, whoever wrote that psalm was a broken human being who doesn't think he can ever be whole again, ever be right, ever be good. Not ever. If you've gotten yourself to a place like that, then Lent is for you. This journey that we take toward a cross and beyond to a tomb that's empty is for you. So if that's the place where you find yourself tonight, I invite you to pray that same prayer. Restore to me, O Lord, the joy of your salvation. And sometimes we lose our joy not by doing anything wrong, not by doing what we shouldn't, not by not doing things that are worth doing, but just by getting stuck, getting in a rut, caught up in a routine, juggling all those balls, trying to keep them all in the air and managing to do it, but there's no life left in it, no energy. We're lost, really, sleepwalking through life. If you've gotten yourself to a similar place, then Lent is for you too. Pray this prayer tonight. Restore to me, O Lord, the joy of your salvation. Whatever it is, whether you're lost, anxious, fearful, uncertain, guilty, doubtful, quietly, silently, in your own heart, pray that prayer. Restore to me, O Lord, the joy of your salvation. Now, the film The Shawshank Redemption is about men in prison. About men in prison, but not only a prison that's made of stone. It's also about the prisons that we make for the soul, which often enough are self-made. Toward the end of the movie, Andy, an innocent man who's been in prison for 19 years, but he somehow managed to hold on to hope. He's speaking to Red, who just might get out of jail one day, but Red fears that he won't know how to live free even if he gets out. Andy tells Red, I guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living or get busy dying. Ash Wednesday faces us with a choice like that. Get busy living or get busy dying. In a moment, ashes will be imposed on the forehead. Ashes that remind us that we are dust. And to dust we shall return. It would seem that this is bad news, telling us what we all know at some level, that each of us one day will run out of days, that each of us one day will die. But this is the news that we need to hear, because you can only live a good life if you know that your days are numbered. You can only live a life that matters if you know that your days are finite. You can only live the good, full, and abundant life that God intends, that Christ came to show, if you know that you do not have endless opportunities to cherish the falling snow, to encourage the child to make the most of your abilities. There will come a day when we can no longer do any of those things. And knowing this is actually good news because it means that what we do now matters. The choices we make matter. The paths we take matter. And so today on Ash Wednesday, when you leave the sanctuary with ashes on your forehead. You cannot help but be aware that today is the day to get busy living. That today is the moment to get busy living. You don't need to be in a physical prison to hear God calling your name with those words. Now, the journey of Ash Wednesday leads us to the foot of the cross. It leads us right there to the foot of the cross, but it does not leave us there. The last word is not the ashes that are the sign of our mortality. The last word is the water of baptism. It is the sign of the life that God gives us now, the full abundant life that begins now but that lasts forever. And the one we follow to Jerusalem, to the foot of the cross, he is the one with the words of life. The words that the Gospel of John tells us are full of grace and truth. The grace of God is at work to lead us from making those itty-bitty statues to a life that matters. The grace of God tells us that we're not bound by our past. We're not defined by what happened before. We're free to make new choices now and a new life. The grace of God empowers us to step out of our ruts, our routines, and become aware once more of the gift of life that we have been given. This precious, priceless gift that does indeed have a limited number of days attached to it. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. It's not only a prayer, it's a promise. It's a promise made to us by the one who leads us to life, the life abundant and eternal, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. That's a prayer that will be answered. Pray with me. O Lord, you know the hearts of all. And so it is you who knows what is needed for each to restore the joy of your salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.